Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're in the Book of Revelation here on the radio. We just wrapped it up at church last week, and now we're starting through a series on the radio here from about 2 years ago when I preached it in the pulpit, and we just got started last week. So we are in chapter 1 here today. Later on in the week, you'll hear my last sermon from the book of 2 Peter. And at the church, we'll be starting 1 John next week. It's going to be a high time through 1 John. I invite you to come out to Island Community Church. If you're looking for a church home, if you're new to the area, and if you enjoy this radio program, I invite you to come out to our church. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Also, you can download the app and find out more about us. That's Island Community Church FL for Florida, because there's more than one on the App Store and the Google Play Store. So that app is current. It'll keep you up to date. What's going on, what the sermon is, what time our worship service is, how to get there. You even can give online and support the church on there. Or you can watch the services as well from on there if you're unable to make it. But I invite you out to Island. Those are some of the things going on. Wednesday nights, we're taking off for the next month. We'll be back with the Book of Romans after Labor Day. So here on the radio, WGOD, we're going to be listening to some sermons through, for the most part now, sermons through the Book of Revelation with some sermons through 1 John as I'm preaching that at church. So we're in chapter 1. Last sermon was, "Behold, he's coming with the clouds." That's chapter 1, verse 7. And all the world, it's funny, interesting, or actually quite sad to see the response of the people in the world when Jesus Christ returns. It says that they will wail. That's not going to be my response, but that'll be the response of the world when he cracks through the sky and returns. The men and women and probably children are going to wail when they see him return. Ultimately, because they guessed wrong, or they were deceived by someone. And Jesus doesn't say, take it easy if you're deceived. He said, take heed that you're not deceived. Beware. Okay, this is the next sermon in this series now. This one is, Jesus says, I have the keys of death and of Hades, or the King James says, hell. That's where we're at here for today and tomorrow. Enjoy today's message.
You know, there's a verse in, I think it's John 3:17, isn't it? That says, those who don't believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, I've been thinking about this verse. I've been thinking about hell this week because of our sermon title, I've Got the Keys to Hell. And there's a verse in my Greek Septuagint Old Testament, and it's not in our Bibles. And it's something that God said, and he said it to Job. It's in Job chapter 38, verse 17, though like I said, it's missing in our Bibles. And God said this to Job. He said, do the porters of hell quake when they see you? As he going through the list, you know, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I told the waves this far you can go? And then he said, do the porters of hell quake when they see you? What a word picture that is. Like I think of like a little monkey with a suit and a hat on, standing outside an elevator. A porter of hell, if we take that verse at face value, does that mean that hell's got porters there? I'd say yes. What a thought. And Jesus says, I've got the keys to hell. Let's see if we can follow up last week's sermon. I'm not sure if we can do that, but the burden's not on me. It's on the Lord. There's nothing more astonishing to me than practically an entire world looking up and seeing the Son of God return and their reaction being of one wailing. That's where we left off last week. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 is where we left off. Let's talk about that real quick before we move on. It says, behold, he's coming with the clouds. Let's pray first. Lord God, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for wisdom and insight and revelation knowledge this morning. For us, for those on the radio and the podcast and anyone else who hears this, open our eyes today to some great truth previously unknown to us. Speak to it. Lord, you promise, we pray your word back to you. You promise a blessing to all those that read and hear and keep the words written in this book. So according to your own word, Lord, bless us here today. And we're going to be greedy and every week ask for a blessing. Because we feel that's what you want us to do. Not to be satisfied, but every week to ask you for a blessing, for wisdom and understanding and knowledge, something we didn't know before. We pray right now for that, Lord. Speak to us here. Open up the scriptures to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Behold, he's coming with the clouds. We're in Revelation 1:7, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth. The King James, and New King James says, mourn. But the Greek word kalpos means to beat one's breast in anguish. That's why some translations use the word wail. All the earth will wail because of him. What a shocking thing that was to me last week. Why would people wail? Let me tell you, that's not going to be my response when he comes back. How about yours? After all this time, are you going to wail when Jesus comes back? Are you going to beat your breast in anguish when Jesus comes back? All right, how about all the atheists? How about all those from Missouri? You ever see it on their license plate? What does it say? The Show Me State. All right, here he is. He's coming on the clouds, and every eye will see him. Why not come? Why not just stop and believe him? And Stephen Hawking, he's so smart. All right, here he is. Here's a man coming on the clouds. Why not stop? Well, it's too late for him now. He is finding out now that hell has got porters. And a lock. Or all the atheists, all the self-proclaimed agnostics. Well, I'm not so certain. All right, here he comes. He's coming with the clouds. Why don't people believe when he comes back? Why don't people just believe and stop running when he comes back? We're going to answer that question here. It's a surprise to me that the reaction of one of the Son of God coming back would be one of wailing. I thought it would be one of joy. And all the people with fire insurance. You ever heard that one before? Fire insurance. Well, just in case the man upstairs really is true. Even they don't believe. We're going to find out the reason why to that. How did we end up here? How did we end up to the place that when everyone sees the Son of God coming, no one believes? One of the most important verses in the entire book of Revelation is this. It's chapter 13, verse 8, that says this. It says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. This is the false prophet this is talking about. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Haven't you ever run into people? Well, you know, that religion is just for weak people. A lot of people, they don't worship anyone. Oh, that's a crutch for people that can't cope with life. Even they are going to worship him. Even those that say religion is for weak people are going to worship him. Because the Bible says all who dwell on the earth will worship him. comma, thank God, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All atheists will worship the man of sin, the Antichrist, who Paul said he's going to sit as God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. He sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He says he's going to be God. He's going to sit in the temple. He's going to say, I am God. And the atheists, unbelievers, agnostics, and everyone who has refused the love of Jesus Christ is going to bow to knee and call him God. Because the Bible says all that dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names aren't written in the book of life. And all this will happen because coming up in the future, people are going to have to make a decision. A few verses down from there, in verse 11 on, the Bible talks about a mysterious person who will be known as the false prophet. He will be the one responsible for this response we saw last week of wailing when they see Jesus coming in with the clouds. We read this about the false prophet starting in the middle of verse 12. Revelation 13, 12. It says, he causes the earth and those that dwell in it to worship the first beast, Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. The man is apparently going to die, but then come back to life again. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those that dwell on the earth by those signs which were granted to him to do in the sight of the beast, telling those that live on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath or life, like the King James has it, life. How many of you knew before you came in here today, Satan's going to have the power to give life at the end of the age? Because you hear me rave about it every week. No, I don't want to do you any disservice. Maybe you did know it. I didn't know it before I read this the 80,000th time. That Satan's going to have the power to give life at the end of the age. Or breath. All right, breath. You like breath better? Where do you get the image of someone kneeling down over someone, pinching their nose and breathing into them? What image do you get? Adam, right? This man's going to have extraordinary power to do these things because God expects you to know, behold, he's coming with the clouds. It's not going to be someone kneels down and breathes into a dummy. Your Jesus is coming back with the clouds. As lightning shines to the east, to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. God expects you to know that. He owes you no tractor beam. If you're deceived by that, like the 4 billion people that will be that live on the earth, it's your own fault. He was granted power to give life to this icon of the beast. So that the icon of the beast, remember what icon means, it's an exact representation of an original, like the coin, whose icon and inscription is this? Caesar's. Or Jesus Christ, he's the icon of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. It's an exact representation of an original. Like John F. Kennedy on a 50-cent piece, or Eisenhower on a dollar. Is the image of the beast. He's exact representation of the original. Even in Nebuchadnezzar's day, they had one. And they forced everyone to bow down and worship it. Daniel chapter 3. Right? Everyone who doesn't fall down and worship the beast is going to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Verse 16, he causes all. Small, great, rich, poor, free, and bond to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead so that no one can buy or sell save he that has the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. He causes all to receive the mark. And this is how and why All the earth will wail when they see the Lord coming on the clouds. Because prior to that, all the people on planet Earth had a decision to make. And everyone guessed wrong. That is why the atheist and the agnostic and the scoffer and the unbeliever and the fence sitter looks up and they can't call on the name of the Lord because it's too late. Because once you take the mark of the beast, it's all over for you. There's no repentance from that. There's no turning back from that. They all guessed wrong because, like the Bible says, they were deceived into guessing wrong. They were deceived into guessing wrong. Now let's pick it up here, verse 7 of chapter 1. Behold, he's coming with the clouds. Or he's coming with clouds, or in the clouds. The definite article, T-H-E, is in this text, though. The clouds. Behold, he's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Meaning who? Jews. Or all of us. All the tribes of the earth will wail because of him. Then it says, even so, amen. Even that speaks volumes, doesn't it? Meaning, even so, meaning, sorry it's got to be this way. Even so, even though 4 billion people are going to look up and cry, the text says, even so, and then so be it. Amen. So be it. This it is. 4 billion people are going to look up and wail. Even so. So be it. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. My Bible says, it says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. You have four different things he calls himself there. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Similar to saying, I am the A and A to Z, right? Beginning to the end. In the beginning was the Word. At the end will be the Word. I am also the great I am. Then he says, who is? Who is what? Nope, who is. And who was? The word was is an imperfect verb. Imperfect means you don't know. It means it has no beginning. You can't point to a time when it started. It's in the imperfect tense, meaning no one, it's always been there. There's no pointing to a beginning time. Like when it says, in the beginning was. The word was is an imperfect verb. Who is and who was and who is to come. Then it says, the Almighty. Greek word, panta kratos. Panta means all. Kratos means power and might. That's Almighty God. The El Shaddai in the Old Testament is Pantocrator in the New. How's that for a greeting, by the way? Now in verse 9, a sentence or two from the man that wrote all this down. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and hupomone of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, 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 what do you know? It seems that back in John's day, there was an intolerance for the word of God. Funny how some things never change, isn't it? There's an intolerance today for the word of God. Certainly in schools, the problem is rampant. But look on the other parts of the world today. Look how the Bibles have to be smuggled into countries like China and North Korea and Muslim countries. Why? Because there's an intolerance for the Word of God today. That's why. What are they so afraid of? What are you so afraid of? The second thing that got John sent to a penal colony. An intolerance to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look at how Jesus Christ is mocked in this country. And how people are scorned. People like Tim Tebow, good example. And others who boldly give testimony of Jesus Christ. People in this country are routinely silenced for giving a testimony of Jesus Christ. If it's on film, it's snipped out and left on the cutting room floor. Again, I ask, what are people afraid of? Most secular PhDs today all agree that anything Jesus ever said was give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, and the people made up the rest. What are you afraid of? No, you see, this is a spiritual battle, and it's been going on for over 2,000 years now. The same thing that were happening in John's day are happening in our day, except for one thing. They don't feed you to the lions. Now, Jesus said this about the future, Matthew 24:9. He said, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by everyone on account of my name. And then many will be offended. Or New American Standard says, then many will fall away from the faith and betray one another and hate one another. Which is why Jesus says, those who love their life will lose it. And those who hate their lives will keep it unto life eternal. It's John 12:25. Maybe you say, well, the rapture will come before all this, and this doesn't apply to me. Well, I have yet not to be instructed by the Lord to omit this portion of Scripture in teaching it to you. Imagine telling millions of Christians that have been martyred already that enduring tribulation doesn't apply to them. The Lord said, in this world, you will have tribulation. What's required of you is to hate your life like the Lord tells you and love God more. I know that's a lofty position, isn't it? How many people in here hate their lives the way Jesus intended it to be taken? One hand? Somebody? Does anyone hate their life in here? I fail at this verse. I'll tell you what, though. You go overseas, I'll bet you 99% of people pass this verse. When you go to Syria and Iraq and the Middle East, I'm still working on that. Satan says this about you. Skin for skin, exclamation point. All that a man has, he will give for his life. Satan thinks you are a weakling and will do anything to save your ever-loving hide until you prove him wrong in the field of adversity. Now, back to verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience or endurance of Jesus Christ, I was on the island that is called Patmos on account of the word of God and on account of the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. I can imagine, it must have sounded something like, Ego, eimi, ho, alpha, kai, ho, omega, ho, protos, kai, ho, eschatos. That's what that would have sounded like to John. What you see, write in a book. Send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. To Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now this was not a dream. John was supernaturally transported out of the material world, awake, not sleeping. All right, now as for this reference to the Lord's day, many early Christian writings use this terminology, and we believe this refers to Sunday, the day of the Lord's resurrection, not the historic day of the Lord, like the judgment day. Early Christians used this term, the Lord's Day for Sunday. That's what we believe this means by this.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Washed away.